Welcome to the Oxford Healthcare Improvement podcast series brought to you by Dr. Daniel Morne, Medical Lead for the Centre. I've got Joshua Eager with me today, who's going to be telling us about a quality improvement project that he's been involved with on the wards in the Warnford Hospital. Nice to meet you, Joshua.
Yeah, good morning. Nice to meet you too, Daniel.
Tell us a bit about your job.
Yes, I'm a clinical lead occupational therapist in the adult inpatient service. So I clinically manage five wards within the Oxford Acute Adult Inpatient Service. So I lead occupational therapists and support them clinically to achieve clinical goals in that sense.
So you help with the activities and care for patients on the mental health wards. And what do you enjoy about your job?
The part I enjoy the most is about patient contact. I mean, Oxford Health, I know, is moving away from the medical model and it's mostly about recovery in that sense. And occupational therapists play a big part in recovery. So I enjoy that clinical contact with service users, knowing what motivates them in that sense, looking at their strengths instead of their weaknesses and using that for their recovery. That's what I enjoy the most.
And you did a training program with Oxford Healthcare Improvement. What was it that initially drew you to become more interested in quality improvement?
Yes, when I started my job, one of the things that I did find out is that in terms of our occupational therapy process, there was not enough clarity in that sense. So in terms of our service users, the expectation is that, you know, based on national guidelines, that they stay about 36 days within hospital. And occupational therapists play a very important role there. So one of the things I found out is that because people who worked under me and who worked with me didn't know about the process, they were struggling to meet those targets of working with our service users and in terms of their discharge in that sense. So there was that was one of the things that inspired me to start this project.
So just so I get that right, you wanted to get involved with quality improvement because you're wanting to improve the sort of the care that patients were experiencing on the ward. Is that right?
Yes, definitely. From the occupational therapy perspective, we wanted our care to be effective, to be timely and appropriate at the same time. So it was about our service users and also the members of staff that were working with them to make sure that they were able to target their needs and support them, work together to ensure that their discharge was quite timely and successful.
So why did you think quality improvement would help you achieve that then?
Just to start with, I didn't know much about quality improvement. But one of the things that I found fascinating after some discussions, you know, I met a number of people, was that quality improvement is about change, but not only change, but it's about change out the team dynamics, how to work with your team, how to inspire your team and motivate them to achieve change. And also to look at things like balancing effects, which are the effects that change can have on colleagues and mental health service users, and using that to make sure that their needs are taken care of during that process. And also they can go through the journey as a team, you know, all of us working together to achieve change. So that's why I chose quality improvement in that sense.
So something about it's the team-based approach, the bottom-up.
Yes, it is a team-based approach. Everybody's involved. Everybody plays a part. Everybody knows what the goals are. And there's a lot of discussion. We work together. We share successes and failures together. So it's actually part of team bonding in that sense. And when we make those changes and we see the results, there's always excitement in that sense. So that's one of the reasons why I chose this approach.
Tell us about your project.
Yes, my project was about our occupational therapy process, our admission process. So as I said earlier, we had this problem where people didn't know what exactly they needed to be doing. And one of the things we did was to sit down together and do something called a process mapping. So we looked at our processes. This is what is expected at admission, interventions, and discharge. And we then discussed why we had discrepancies in terms of the way we were performing our roles. So one of the things we then started doing was that we standardized everything to say, okay, this is what is expected. This is what we expected to do. And then we compared where we were at that point. And then we did like a baseline audit to find out where we were. And then we started our journey of change in that sense.
You've just used that term process map. What's a process map?
A process map is simply put, when you sit down with your colleagues to look at that process that you are trying to change. You sit down and you map it out. Okay, you start from the beginning. This is where we start. These are the things we normally do, and these are how it ends. And at times, the process map is quite useful because at times it helps you to cut down waste. You look at places where you're wasting your efforts, things that are unnecessary, and it gives you the opportunity to lay bare everything before everybody and then have discussions about it. So that's simply put in that sense.
So you managed to look at what you were doing. You got some data.
Yes.
What changes did you make based on the process map? You looked at your process map. What changes did you make in your project?
So one of the first things we found out when we did our baseline assessment was that our initial contact, so the time we are normally meant to see our patients within 2 days of hospital arrival, we found out that we were not doing that. It was as low as 12.7% over the period of a year. So it means that it was really quite poor. And so we decided we wanted a very simple change and target our initial contact and make sure that we can increase it from 12 to 90%. That was our goal. We said we wanted to increase it, and that was what we worked on.
So was your aim, well, you tell me your aim.
So our aim as a whole was to increase our, we talked about our admission process. We wanted to increase our admission process to 90%. And over a period of January 2020 to December 2020.
So, and your admission process was to see somebody within 48 hours?
Yes, our admission process was to see somebody within 48 hours and conduct our initial contact in that sense.
So what changes did you make to try and address that? How did you think about improving from 12% to 90%?
Yes, so the first thing we did was to sit down and have a business meeting. And we spoke about what an initial contact would entail because we wanted a standardized process. So we agreed on three things. The first thing is that you meet a service user, introduce yourself, introduce your role, introduce them to the activities on the ward, like a ward induction. And the third thing is also to make sure that an initial assessment is scheduled during that time. And we agreed that that was what we'll measure within 48 hours. And one of the things we said is that it has to be put on care notes that you've done it, because that's what people were not doing. So that was one of the major changes, put it on care notes, and then we started measuring it from there. And that is how we started improvements in that sense.
How did the team find that change? Was there some resistance? Did they all go along with it? Did you have any bumps along the way?
Yes. So based on the quality improvement methodology, one of the things you find out is that there are some people who enjoy change. So what we did was there were some people who were a little bit reserved. What we did was that we chose the people who enjoyed change as the first set of people who would go through that. So we did our tests, you know, we did a test using their words, a couple of people, just to see if anything, you know, we did tests of change to find out if there were any difficulties that we could encounter. And so we sat down and I was giving the feedback to the team. We'll meet together. Are there any difficulties? At times, you know, some people will clarify some things. And so the people who are reluctant, who are watching, and it was a way of telling them how exciting it could be and how simple the change was. So that was the way we won them over eventually.
That sounds like an ingenious method. Go with the energy and the enthusiasm. I love it. How did the project go?
The first few months, because the first 6 months, we did our test of change the first 6 months to see if there was going to be any improvement in that sense. And one of the things that happened was that, of course, the balancing effect was that at times members of staff would probably get tired. Members of staff would go through some personal things. So one of the things I did was that I sat with them each time they were going through things. At times when the scores were looking lower, I tried to find out what exactly was happening. And to my surprise, at times people were going through personal things. We remember that the lockdown was happening. So some people were struggling mentally. I was able to support them to go through occupational health, get help that they need. And I was able to work with them also on the wards to ensure that we could get to that point of making that change in that sense. So I would say that it was both, we were able to achieve that change. Also, we were able to support each other through emotional processes that were happening around that time through the quality improvement projects.
So you hit your target?
Well, we didn't get to 90%. Our change, we increased from 12.5% to 73.78%. So that was the first change that we proposed, got us to 73.78%. Now we are at the second stage of what we proposed in that sense. And hopefully by the end of this year, we could get to the 90%. We are getting close, but not there yet.
Well, I think that's a pretty impressive, it's 73% or something, pretty bit of a jump from 12%.
Yes, yes.
I'm interested on your reflections of what it was like to do the QI training and then run a project. How was it for you?
Yes, one of the things that I did learn during the QI project that at times localized changes, small changes, can bring out bigger outcomes in that sense. So one of the first things I learned through supervision and everything is to make sure that the changes you make are within your control. So I chose a project that was with my clinical team. We worked together, you know, and so we had that personal relationship. I didn't choose a project that involved other teams that I had no control over in that sense. So that was one of the things I did learn. And also in my reflections, I found out that at times you might be looking at numbers, but it's better to delve deeper into what those numbers mean. So when we saw our scores in that sense, and we saw that we were not doing well in some areas, we actually sat down and found out why those numbers were that way. And it had to deal with things that people are going through personally in that sense. So numbers are just numbers until you explore them further to find out exactly what is happening. So those are one of the two major things. I think a third one is that as a lead, a person who is leading a project, you have to get your hands dirty. Make sure that you're working close with your team. Don't tell them things, what to do. Do things and let them see it, because you're an example in terms of that. And that is the way to make your change successful in that sense.
Joshua, that's so helpful to hear your reflections. And you clearly have the mindset of an improver. And I look forward to hearing about your next test of change in this project. So thank you for your time today.
Thank you.
And thank you for listening as well.